Welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Mensah-Yeboah, and joining me on the sofa is Mr. Matthew Watts. Is it Matt or Matthew?
Whichever you prefer. I used to be quite pedantic and demand Matthew, but I've gotten over that in the last few years.
Okay, Matthew is Shelby. So, Mr. Matthew Watts, the operational brains behind Clients in Abundance. Matthew, so welcome, and thanks for having tea with me. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Lily. Yeah, thank you for asking me to join you today. It's an absolute pleasure.
Great. So what sort of tea are you having? What's your favourite cup of tea?
Actually, to be honest, I've got an Australian afternoon tea. It's a bit like English breakfast. My brother brought it over when he visited last year for our wedding.
Okay.
A giant box of it. Yeah, it's a bit stronger than English breakfast, I would suggest.
Do you know I like strong tea?
Yeah.
For some reason, I do like my tea strong, so that's good. I'm very much a very simple girl, and I like, you know, English breakfast or regular Tetley tea. So let's hear a little bit about the brand name, Matthew. Booba what? You have to tell me about what Booba is.
Bumba.
Oh, Bomba.
Bomba.
Bomba, okay. Matthew's love, and we'll talk about that later, Matthew's love for excellence in customer service and creative eloquence and physical stamina was developed through his 17-year stint in the hospitality industry. His experience and mental agility is now translated into the world of marketing and business development, where he helps business owners in the health and wellness industry build their client base and profit from their passions. He is the Chief Operating Officer, COO, at Clients in Abundance. The real engine room of the business is also built around family life. Matthew's not only an ace at building systems using technology to improve business performance, he is great with people from staff, punters and clients. A true all-rounder and a real sport who hails from Australia. And that's another first for Tea with Lily. Tea with Lily is the social enterprise arm of Lynx Media. It's a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in their personal growth. The aim of the program is to give your brand a voice. So welcome, listeners, and thanks for tuning in. Mr. Matthew Watts, about your journey from hospitality to business development, tell me a little bit more about what led you there.
Well, love, to be brutally honest. A bit cheesy, I know.
Love, okay, I like that.
I've kind of travelled the world. I grew up in Australia in a very small country town, and then moved to Brisbane to go to university, and then kind of just travelled around the world. I've worked in hospitality, I've had lots of different friends, and I've lived lots of different places. And I was just going to start coming back to Australia when I met Amanda.
Okay.
And she had such vision and passion and hope that I not only fell in love with her, but I wanted to help her share her vision with the world. She's so very passionate and so very clear about what she wants to achieve and how she can help people.
Yeah,
and she makes such a difference that we launched our Clients in Abundance. And that business has helped us create a lifestyle for ourselves and our children that existed only in her mind previously. So we've just created something out of absolute nothing, which is amazing. That's only possible because of love.
Great. I mean, it's a story. But I can see a book coming out of that. So I'll be knocking on your door every now and again saying, when is the book coming?
I'll have to put that on my to-do list.
Your to-do list to write a book about love. That's great. Let's touch on your previous work in the hospitality industry, where you worked for several years in Australia and all other places. Can we speak about life before Amanda then?
Yeah, certainly. I started working in a kitchen when I was 16.
Wow.
And I stayed in hospitality for just over 18 years. I worked as an apprentice chef. I worked as a chef. I worked as a barista, as a waiter, as a barman, a cocktail maker. I managed two paddle boats on the Brisbane River, the Kookaburra River Queens.
What's a paddle boat?
Well, you know, the old steam-powered paddle boats that went up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Except these had diesel engines. They weren't steam-powered anymore. too dangerous to have that big a fire on a boat. But yeah, so I ran those for just over a year. I was head steward on those. Mm-hmm. Then I moved over here to the UK. I ran a student pub in the East End for a little while. Got sick of London, moved out to the city and fell in love with... Moved out to Dorset and fell in love with gastropubs.
Okay.
And so I ran a few gastropubs for 3.5, almost 4 years until mm-hmm. I met Amanda.
Okay.
And I loved it. I loved it, particularly gastropubs, because you change people's lives. Everybody remembers the last meal that they had when they were out. And if it was a bad meal, it stays with you forever and ever and ever. And you tell everybody about it, and you never go back. It affects your emotional and mental state really, really significantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked being able to provide people with a great experience that enhanced their life. Mm. So that was why I was in hospitality.
Great. And I mean, that's a long time, 17 to 18 years. And then now I'm sure you still do a little bit in there. I'm sure you still, if you've been somewhere for 18 years, you can't just stop not thinking about it or, you know,
no, that's
doing
that's
the
true.
Odd thing.
We do a bit of marketing and PR for a couple of restaurant clients.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love them, and I'll keep them as clients for as long as I can.
Great.
Because it's just something I really enjoy.
Thank you for that. So tell us one thing that you do really, really well, and what's the secret to that?
I seem to have a bit of a knack for learning how to build systems to benefit a business. When I was in the running the gastropubs, systemizing the ordering and the way that customers were dealt with and all of that,
yeah,
came quite naturally. And again, in Clients in Abundance, our email marketing, our customer relation management, building the website, scheduling, and all the other online platforms that we've integrated and developed to keep our business efficient. It seems to come quite naturally. I've got a bit of an intuitive understanding of what's required and how it all fits together. And the secret is probably not being afraid to ask for help and advice from those that have done it before.
Yes. That is actually interesting, because people think that if they ask for help and advice, it means that they're showing themselves up. And I think asking for help is one of the things that more and more business people, or more and more professionals, or just generally more and more people should do. Mm. First of all, you actually, in teaching somebody something, the teacher is also learning. And in asking someone for help, you're making them feel like, I don't know, there's some sort of mental reward that goes with being asked to help someone.
Yeah, completely.
So both people win. That's great. So, Matthew, you've managed some really great venues in your career. And I think it'll be useful for us to hear a little bit more about those places that you managed and got some recognition for them whilst you were at the helm. Can you give us some idea of those and how that happened?
Yeah, sure, certainly. In Australia, I managed a wedding and reception venue called Gipps Restaurant.
Okay.
This little place in Toowoomba. And I was in charge of that for probably nearly 2 years, 18 months. And we took that from having a fairly consistent lunchtime trade with the professionals in town, but dinner and the wedding market and all of that was fairly inconsistent and almost non-existent. So in 18 months, we managed to take it to become the leader in Toowoomba, the best restaurant in town. And we elevated the standard so much that we were given what's called a chef's hat, which is kind of the equivalent of an AA rosette.
Oh, wow. Well done.
So, yeah, that was quite exciting, and we were very, very proud of that. And that was actually the last job I had in Australia before I came over here.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's probably the highlight of my hospitality career. I've done a few bits with the gastropubs over here, but nothing quite as exciting as that.
Oh, well, thank you, and congratulations. Now, Matthew, listen, imagine that you're sitting in front of a careers officer, and as a 16-year-old school leaver, just about to leave school. I don't know what age you leave school. You're allowed to leave school in Australia, but I'm assuming it's around 16. Well, I suppose I think in this country it's now 18, but once upon a time it was 16. Mm. So I still stick to the 16-year-old thing. What would you have said to them at the time you wanted to be?
Stop looking for the approval of everybody. Look inside you.
And
just go with that feeling that you have inside. I spent years at university, but failed to complete my degree because it was something that I shouldn't have done in the first place. If I'd listened to my own intuition, I would have taken a different path. So it was a bit of a, it wasn't a waste. It was a great experience and I learned quite a lot, but it wasn't the most beneficial action I could have taken. And the same thing goes for lots of actions that I've taken throughout my life. So living true to yourself is probably the most important thing. And work in something that brings you satisfaction and the lifestyle you want.
That makes sense. I was snooping around a little bit and I've got a couple of testimonials here. Let me read the first one from Nikki Hurst. Yeah?
Oh, right.
And she's a social media and community manager for NATS. She says, I first met Matthew through the world of social media. Other people may opt to recommend Matthew based on his great hospitality skills, but my recommendation is based on what he achieves regularly through PR and social media especially. Matthew engages with a wide range of people on many issues. He never fails to understand the true value of social media and PR to benefit his business while still letting his personality shine through. After chatting, in quotes, with Matthew, you always want to jump in a car and join him for a drink or a meal. There are many hospitality venues that would do well to follow his example and to grow their businesses. That's really nice, Matthew.
That is actually.
Are you blushing?
A little bit, yeah. I don't take praise very well, to be honest.
We have to work on that. Anyway, this is Tea with Lily, and I'm here with Matthew Watts, the man at the helm at Clients in Abundance, an organisation that helps business owners build their client base and benefit from their passions. His mantra is, create, don't just consume, because content is truly king.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matthew Watts, let's talk about the work that you do today, okay? Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what you do at Clients in Abundance?
Yes, certainly. Clients in Abundance is one of the businesses that is run by my wife and I through Kennedy PR Limited, which is our limited company. It operates in two ways. We have Clients in Abundance, which is a business and marketing coaching company where we help primarily health and wellness coaches. But anyone really can benefit from it. But we do tend to specialize in with coaches. And that helps them to learn how to market their business more effectively and grow their business. And we've just launched we are launching Awaken Your Magic, which is focused on life coaching. That will be with female entrepreneurs. And my role is the operations. So while Amanda goes out and delivers all the content to help all of these wonderful people who are doing such good work in the world, I'm running the finances and building the websites and scheduling the webinars and making sure that all of the bits and pieces that kind of integrate together to run the business do so successfully and smoothly.
Oh, great. So you hold the purse string so Amanda doesn't spend it all.
Oh, I hold the purse, I suppose. I hold the money. I don't know if I'll ever be able to close it.
There has to be some trust there because I don't want to offend the male listeners, but they say it's better to give the money to the female rather than the male because women are better at looking after money. But there you go. We're not going to have the discussion today. What's the profile of your typical client? You mentioned female entrepreneurs, but perhaps a little bit more would be useful.
Yeah, certainly. We do primarily help entrepreneurial women. Amanda's got a very, very strong passion for enabling women to access their own unique greatness, which is quite inspiring. Our clients at the moment come from all over the world. We have some in England, Canada, the United States, Australia. But the thing they have in common is that they were all put on this earth to help people and to be of service to others and to help create a better world. But they're a bit confused and unsure of the best way to go about that and how to access the people that they want to help. So we help them we help them gain a bit of clarity on what it is they do, the best way to do it, how to structure a business around it, and then how to reach their audience.
Yeah, and also perhaps working around their family life as well, which is often quite a challenge, isn't it?
It is, certainly, it is, yeah. And that was one thing that was very important to Amanda when she started her business, and one thing that was a very strong focus of our business at the moment, is to make sure that you have that lifestyle. And you can do it. You don't have to work 70, 80 hours a week in order to have a successful business that lets you have a lifestyle where you spend time with your family, you spend time with yourself. You know, you can do all of these things. You don't have to sacrifice one for the other.
That's good. That's really good. I'll be coming to you. And that's all that can be done pretty much through, not necessarily everything being automated, but at least the admin is limited. You help to limit the admin time that people spend on their businesses.
Oh, certainly. You can systemize it so that you don't have to spend as much time doing each individual component. If you put it all together in an organized manner, then it minimizes the amount of time that you need to spend doing all the boring bits that nobody enjoys anyway.
Accounts. I hate accounts. Exactly. That's me. I hate accounts. So thanks for that, Matthew. Could you please give an example or perhaps a client in need and help them, how to help them grow their businesses, for example?
Okay, yeah, certainly. We've become focused on helping coaches and entrepreneurial women, as I said, and they tend to be between about 25 and 50. They have a family or they want to have a family, which is why they want the freedom of working for themselves and need to learn how to structure a business around their life instead of the business becoming their life. They want control over their hours, over their earning potential, over who they work with, you know, which kind of clients they have, and how to say no to people that they don't want to work with and that don't particularly suit their business or their business model. They've usually been in business between about 6 and 24 months.
So they have some experience to start with. Okay.
Yeah, we generally find that our clients have worked in a corporate environment or worked in a very structured environment and found that to be unsatisfying or restricting in some way. And so they've launched their own business.
Okay.
And then a short time after that, they've kind of gone, oh, this isn't quite how I imagined it, or it's not working as well as I thought it would, or I've got a couple of clients, but I don't know how to get a few more. So we help them just organize and systemize things so that it becomes consistent and they have a large enough income to provide them with the lifestyle that they want for their family and for themselves.
That's good. You said 25 to 50. I'm also learning. I'm based on the stuff that I do. More and more younger women are going into business. They want to call the shots, indeed, as well. Whereas once upon a time, maybe 30s, late 30s, early 40s will be a time that most women would want to start their own businesses. But I'm learning that they're getting younger and younger, and because of the way technology has afforded them some of those breaks, the entrepreneurial women are getting younger and younger, and I'm glad that you've also noticed that, so that's good.
Yeah, and I think some of that comes from women used to wait until after they'd had children and the children had gone, and then they wanted more, and so they sought a business role, but now they don't want to wait. They want to create the structure and security for themselves.
Yeah.
To create the income and get the house and all of that, and then go on to have a family later. It's really good to see it happening. It's quite
exciting. I bet you meet some really interesting people in your line of work.
We do. We meet some fascinating people. And I know we're discussing younger women, but one of our clients is a lady in America, I think she's in Minnesota, and she's 78. And
oh, my
she's
gosh.
Just decided to go into business for herself. And it's like, oh, my word. But yeah, most of our clients tend to be, I think the youngest we have at the moment is 27. There's one that's 28. So they tend to be in that kind of range. But there's certainly no stopping anyone anymore.
Yeah. Ain't no stopping us now. That's it. I can see us all coming up. I do sing occasionally on my show, you know, but today I will not do that. Okay. I wouldn't embarrass you, Matthew. Because normally I can sing with a guest as well, but I wouldn't embarrass you.
You wear several hats, such as an operations director, website man, looking after the money, which is a good thing. Normally it's the women that look after the money. Apparently we're better at it. And you're also, you know, an entrepreneur. Which one of these is by far your favourite pastime? Career pastime?
At the moment, it would have to be, I'd say, kind of integrating everything together, putting the website and all of the online platforms and scheduling systems and email marketing that we use, and putting it together. So I suppose you'd call that business development. You know, we feel that we can serve a lot of people and that what we offer is of really great value and needs to be accessible. So structuring the delivery of our content and our website and our scheduling and invoicing and all of these kind of horrible, boring little bits.
Right? Yeah.
Systemizing it and integrating it. Amanda can be 100% focused on delivering the content to our clients and serving the wonderful people that we help. And it all just flows very smoothly. And that's very rewarding.
Well, that's interesting because it's a very, you know, it's a family business then, isn't it?
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, the whole business is structured around Amanda and I working together and having time to spend with the children and with ourselves and with the clients as well.
Yeah. Obviously, working as a family, it means that you don't have too many different competing priorities because everybody knows what everybody else is supposed to be doing, and it makes it a lot nicer. And I think the fact that now that we can get technology affords us that, I think the future for family life is looking very rosy. But I'm looking at it from my own rose-tinted glasses, so you're very lucky there. Whilst you were not looking, I looked at the LinkedIn again, and I've got another testimonial here from Debbie Newman, who's a strategic marketing expert and business coach. Oh, very powerful title. I have known Matthew in both his roles at the Swan at Stafford and now at the Wheat Sheaf Branchfield. He's always genial, remembers who you are, and makes you feel valued. That is a really nice thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's important. That's what we want as people. We want to feel important and that we are significant and that we make a difference. And it's important to help make sure that friends and clients and everybody that you meet in life feels that way. So it is very kind of Debbie to say that.
Yeah. There's some people that you meet and you generally just want to be part of their lives. And not everybody has that. Not everybody is blessed with that. So I met somebody, a girl yesterday that I felt connected with, and she sat next to me, and she felt she was helpful. She went out of her way to be helpful. And those are the kinds of people that I want to surround myself with all the time. You don't ask and they help you, and that you in turn then want to help them.
Yeah.
And again, I hope everybody in life is like that. So this is Tea with Lily, and I'm here with Matthew Watts, the man at the helm of Clients in Abundance, an organization that helps business owners in the health and wellness industry build their client base and profit from their passion. His mantra is, create, don't just consume, because content is truly king. So let's have a bit of let's wrap up now. And Mr. Matthew, it can't all be work, work, work. So what do you do for fun? Or shall I say your guilty pleasure?
I'm Australian, so one of my favourite things in the world is beer, not to be a cliche or anything. It's honestly one of the reasons that I stayed in England long enough to meet my wife Amanda. I fell in love with gastropubs and English ale.
You didn't fall in love with Amanda. You fell in love with gastropubs. Well, does she know that?
I met pubs first.
Okay.
Once I met Amanda, then it changed.
But, yeah. Hey, that's good.
So this year I'm doing a couple of courses not dissimilar to a sommelier's course for wine. So learning about the different types of beer, the ingredients, the flavours, the different brewing processes, the glasses, the tasting, all of that kind of thing. Very, very exciting. I don't get to drink quite as much beer as I used to, and that's probably a good thing. But I'm going to try and brew some English ale this summer, so hopefully it won't go too horribly wrong.
Okay. English, did you say English ale?
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference? Okay, what's the difference between English ale and any other ale, for instance?
Ale is quite peculiar to England. There's not many other countries in the world that drink ale. Ale is different from lager in that it's not carbonated, it's not pasteurised, and it's served relatively warm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. I've learned something new today. I think in terms of beer and stuff, I tend to go for the stout, and my favourite is Guinness, which is very unusual, but that's my go-to thing when it comes to beer.
Yeah, fair enough. I do try and drink Guinness every St. Patrick's Day. I have a wee half, but that's about it. I'm not a massive fan of stout, I must be honest.
Well, I guess it's one of those things, a bit like Marmite. You either love it or you hate it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, Matthew, most of us support charities often for personal reasons. So, could you tell us, please, which charities you support and why?
Yeah, certainly. Amanda and I decided when we got married that we would support the Alzheimer's Society.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's mother and her mother's father both suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's respectively. And it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. I know that my mum in particular was heartbroken as we watched my grandmother kind of go through the process, and that someone so vital and alive becomes so terribly helpless and isolated and vulnerable. It's really horrible. If you want to go to the alzheimers.org.uk I invite everyone to have a look at that and see how you can get involved, even if it's just donating a couple of quid once.
I suppose we all never know, but it's one of those illnesses. I've seen a couple of people, not that close to me, but I've seen them where they're very physically fit, but mentally it's quite a challenge, and they get very, very frustrated with their illness.
Mm.
There was a movie a while back, I can't remember the name of it, where this woman was suffering from dementia, and her husband just was so devoted and helped her. I have to remember that movie.
The Notebook, was it?
That's it, The Notebook.
Yeah, fantastic film, absolutely fantastic. I completely agree.
Yeah. So I've seen what it can do to people, and because we know we all hopefully will be fit enough to get old, and if we get old, we hope we don't, or even if we do, the organisation and the support and the learnings and the research behind that will make sure that later on in life there will be a cure.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we hope.
Yeah. Okay, that's well worth supporting. I'll look into that and see how I can help, even if it's a couple of quid, it goes somewhere, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
So your contact details, how can our listeners connect with you, Mr. Matthew, and if they want to find out advice about helping their businesses with coaching advice or personal development?
The easiest way is to get me from our website, clientsinabundance.com, or via email, matthew@clientsinabundance.com. They can also get me on the telephone, that's listed on our website, and I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, all of the usual stuff, YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm around.
Cool. And I saw something about Awaken Your Magic. Can you share a little bit about that, please?
Oh, certainly. Awaken Your Magic is going to be the kind of our new arm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's focused on life coaching as opposed to business or marketing coaching.
Okay.
And that's going to be launching in 9 days.
9 days, countdown.
9 days, exactly. I'll get the website finished in time. No, I will. Please do, everyone, go and have a look at that, awakenyourmagic.com. And, that's very, very exciting. And it's going to be quite, quite good, I think.
Great. And if you want someone to test out the website for you, you know where to come to. I'll be more than happy to help there.
Excellent. Excellent. I'll send you some links later on in the week.
Okay. Thanks. Finally, what are the top three tips for business automation?
Right. Yeah. Number one, I would suggest, is record everything.
Mm-hmm.
Record it. As your business grows, as you continue to serve your clients, and even things like, you know, do your accounts and all of this, you're going to perform many actions and you're going to do lots of different things, and you want to be able to replicate it if it works, or isolate it if it didn't. And you won't have any idea what you've done if you haven't recorded it. So record everything that you do. Yeah, and then when your business gets absolutely huge and massively successful and you need to hire lots of staff, you can just show them what you've recorded and say, this is how we do it. It works. Yeah.
That's really great advice. Anything else?
Yeah, secondly, I would say use platforms that you enjoy working with. If you're doing email marketing, there's lots of different platforms. Find the one that you like. We used to use AWeber, we used to use MailChimp. There's so many out there. Find the one that you like working with and stick with it. The same for your social media marketing, creating videos, doing podcasts, whatever type of marketing or activity you're doing. If you don't enjoy how you're doing it, you won't be quite as committed to it.
Yeah.
So find the best way, find the way of that you enjoy doing it. And do that.
Great. And tip number three?
Tip number three, don't be scared to ask for help.
Yes.
No matter what you're doing, someone has probably done it before you. So find mm-hmm. that person and find out how they did it. Pick their brain. Ask them to mentor you. Because there's so much information available.
Mm-hmm.
You're crazy not to go out there and use it. The answers are out there.
Yeah.
You're not alone in this.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot now, and you don't have to, you can take this out. I am looking, I've got a Samsung phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter's iMac will not speak to it. Do you know why? I can use it on the regular laptop,
mm-hmm.
Microsoft, you know, it's a Toshiba.
Yeah.
But the Samsung and the MacBook will not speak.
No, it's because they're different operating systems. It's because the MacBook is Apple and the Samsung is Android. I have the same problem because I'm a massive Sony fan. So I've got a Sony tablet and a Sony telephone. And Amanda worships at the altar of Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got a MacBook laptop, she's got a desktop, and she's got the iPhone.
Right.
And being able to integrate the two different systems, Android and Apple, is really, really difficult. Even just getting our calendars to sync across is really difficult.
Oh.
So, yeah, you can't plug an Android phone into an Apple computer via USB or anything. They won't talk to each other, as you say.
It's frustrating. I'm sure there's an answer there, and if I find it, I'll definitely let you know.
Alrighty.
Okay, that's great. So ask for help. And then, so your three answers in terms of tips, three answers, record everything,
mm-hmm.
use platforms that you enjoy working with, and ask for help.
Definitely, yep.
Good, very good advice. Very good advice. So, Mr. Matthew Watts, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and have tea with me and share your enthusiasm for business automation and systems. I hope you'll come back and share some more advice and tips with us, because there's no doubt that there's a lot out there that you're doing that some of my listeners will definitely be interested in learning from you. Technology moves along so fast. There's a lot that you have to share that will be of value to us. So please do come back, won't you?
I'd be more than happy to. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And come up and give us an update on what's cooking in the health and wellness industry. Please tune in again for the next episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Mansayabar, and until next time, keep smiling and always, always walk good. Mr. Matthew Watts, thank you very, very much.